you connect with Jim Williams.
By Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. If you would be in need of plumbing services, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates in studio. Nice to see your face.
Good to see you. I always look forward to this.
Yeah, well, I really do. I've enjoyed talking to you and getting to know more and more about the investment markets. And Brian, that's going to allow us to jump right into this, because when we first met, I was thinking about having you. Well, you're going to give us stock tips and market insights. We're going to know exactly what to buy in the stock market. And you've moved us way past thinking about stock tips to educating us about how the investment markets work. And you do this with a biblical perspective. Tell us about John Moore Associates and your approach to helping investors.
Sure. Choosing stocks and other investments is part of what we do for the families that we serve. But what we do is we really try to help families be intentional about the use of money, to be goal-oriented, and then to make their decisions around money based on timeless, transcendent, biblical principles, rather than succumb to the traditional methods of just responding to fear and greed.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about today is, and you know this from your athletic career, I've often told young athletes, the difference between a sophomore in high school and a senior in high school sometimes is more a little bit of strength and athleticism, but the major difference is the older players do not have fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it differentiates people when you get into a basketball game or other sport. I know football is probably very similar. Some of these NFL guys, man, these guys are not just crazy athletes, but they have no fear.
Yeah, I always think Aaron Rodgers, as an example, looks like he's bored when he's playing football.
Yeah,
he's four
300-pound guys chasing him
around.
He's
totally at peace back there, just kind of hanging out and flinging the ball, and he never looks panicked. He never looks out of control or afraid. Yeah, it's just amazing to watch some of those guys. But that's what experience does for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and how does fear hurt us as investors?
Well, I think you have to identify first that fear is not always bad, right? Fear can protect us from things. I'm afraid of touching a hot stove, right? Yeah. Because I know what that might do to me. So fear can be protective. And sometimes you can be in a situation where, you know, our God-given instincts just make us uneasy, and it's a little bit of fear may creep in, and that could be protective. So we don't want to bash all fear. Some fear can be a good thing, but like so many things in life, too much of that good thing can cause harm. And what we try to keep in mind for a lot of our clients is often what they fear is just a figment of their imagination. So they end up making dramatic financial decisions based on a imagined future reality, because fear is actually a result largely of our ability as humans, our God-given ability to create narrative, right? To talk about the past, but then we also can make up something for the future. So I can actually think about something that has not happened, that may never happen, and I can get so worked up that my heart rate goes up and my thinking, my thought process can change for something that's not even real. And that's what we see with finances sometimes, is people are, you know, projecting out some sort of a future that may or may not come. They're having an emotional response out of that fear, and then their judgment fails, and they make rash, reactive decisions rather than slow, logical decisions.
Yeah, and I can't imagine trying to walk through counseling and advising someone that's in that emotional state.
Yeah, I think, you know, a great example of this, I remember shortly after the 2016 election happened, and we'll be talking today about politics and fear a little bit.
Mm.
In 2016, we actually had this wonderful single woman that we serve come into our office, very intelligent woman, very bright woman, typically extremely thoughtful. She was literally sobbing in our office because of the way the 2016 election played out that was against her values. And she was in a panic about, what do we do? There's going to be marches in the streets. There's going to be concentration camps. There's going to be a complete demise of our economy and a world war. Now, 4 years later, we can look back and say that all sounds kind of silly. But that was the future she projected out, and it caused this emotional reaction. So our job as advisors at that time, as you mentioned before, it's not about stock picking at that point, is it? Mm-hmm. It's about coming to good principles, sound logic, focusing back on her goals and our knowledge of history to help her make better decisions.
You've shared with us in past programs that the principles you're talking about, the biblical principles that you deploy at John Moore Associates, are also very useful for people that don't even share your same faith position.
Yeah, exactly. And what we find is, as we network with other financial advisors who may not share our faith, the really good ones that are successful for them, for their business and successful for their clients, are already using these principles. They just don't know that they're these timeless, transcendent principles. They think it might have been something that was invented in the last 100 years or just something they learned through repetition and practice, where we know it's God's wisdom of an ideal way to manage the resources that he allows us to hold.
Brian, I'm noticing on Facebook lately that I'm seeing ads all over the place from various investment organizations that you must do this in the next 5 days, or, and then there's like dot, dot, dot. So, you know, it's leading you to click on these things. And then when you look at them, they're not really giving you any new information.
Yeah. And that's a great point. I'm so glad you went down that direction, Jim, because fear sells. And that's the scary part, is in times of change, times of uncertainty, which we're facing right now, it's very easy for people to prey on that fear and rather than do what we try to do, which is to mitigate the fear and create a sense of peace, contentment, and confidence, they want to stoke that fear to push you into a rash, quick decision that might benefit what they're selling. We see this with gold, you know, time and time again. That's a fear metal that's sold really hard. Many annuity providers use fear as a sales tactic. And I'm not saying that gold or annuities don't have a place in some people's investment plan. I'm not saying that at all. But they're often sold on the basis of a fear rather than a good goal-oriented plan and a good solid process for making investment decisions.
Brian, give us a little bit of scriptural insight as to how sometimes we are directed by fear.
Yeah, I think a great example I just stumbled on a couple days ago was in Matthew 10. And in Matthew, Jesus is talking to disciples. And he's telling them to go into the community. He's acknowledging that you're going to go and be in the community. And in doing so, it said, beware of men. And it's talking about, you know, just be aware, be cautious, be aware, right, of men. And that's, I think, good advice. But what he doesn't say is fear. Actually, you go down a couple verses and it says, so have no fear of them. So he's saying, wait a minute, that seems, if you look on the surface, that almost seems contradictory. Like, you just told me to beware, but not be fearful. But I think that's a really good attitude to take right now if you're feeling fearful, is we're told time and time again in Scripture not to be afraid. We should not fear. You can be aware, but don't be fearful. You know, we should have a whole different perspective as believers into everything, finance, politics, the way we look at life, and we should be aware, and we're told to be aware, and there's plenty of good reasons right now to be aware of political change, to be aware of social change, to be aware of the health and wellness of your family, all these things we should be aware of, but we should not approach any of those topics with fear.
Yeah. I can't help but think about, and I don't have it right in front of me, that there's a proverb that says, the most important thing we can do is acquire wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. I remember giving that same speech to my basketball players. I'd say, this is a basketball. And you know, it sounds really trivial, but, you know, the beginning of wisdom is to acquire wisdom. Well, the only way you can do that is to listen to people like yourself who are in the business. And there's all kinds of resources at johnmoore.com. Tell us about those that are available.
Yeah, so we try to inform our clients and the public in general through our blog posts. And occasionally we have guest speakers come on and do a webinar with our clients. And then we will record and share that on our blog. So if you go to johnmoore.com and click on the Insights tab, we just put up a post this week about politics and investing, which we've been talking about for several months now leading up to the election. But now that we officially have a new president, you know, we wanted to get back into that topic. But our goal there is not to create fear and try to drive people to rush to make decisions. We really want to make people informed and give them principles to live by and to make their investment decisions.
And again, not be directed by fear or by emotion. I always get really nervous when I hear people that, especially when it comes to relationships, they always say things like, well, just follow your heart. Well, Jeremiah says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what I hear when people say, just follow your heart, to me that says, I'm going to follow my emotions. I've never seen anything turn out well where people were following their emotions.
Yeah. And we're given, our emotions are a gift from God. You know, there's so much good there.
Sure.
But that goes back to part of our job as advisors is to be an objective third party to see if your emotions might be leading you somewhere negative. You know, and so that could be fear. It could be greed. It could be, just the desire to care for your child that goes so far that when they're adults, you're giving them too much in gifts and support. I mean, there's so many of these emotions that we deal with every day, and it's really hard to separate money and emotions. They're just so tied. But that's why I like that feeling of awareness. You know, I think of awareness, I think of clarity. You know, I'm looking, I'm being clear in my vision, clear in my thoughts. But when I'm fearful, when you're afraid, you're not making good decisions. There's a great book by Daniel Kahneman called Thinking Fast and Slow. It's a very popular book about the way the human brain processes emotions and thoughts. And the fast and slow, the fast is the quick fire that we have in our brain, and it's the quick response, sort of the instinctive decisions. We make all these decisions every day that we don't think about because the brain has to efficiently process information. And that kind of thinking works well for a lot of things in life. Financial decisions are not fast decisions. They should be slow decisions. And to think slow, we need to calm ourselves, give ourselves time to process information, not panic and make rush decisions.
We have to back up and talk about the resources that you're investing and who they actually belong to.
Yeah, and that's huge. So if you really have a stewardship mindset and you truly believe, as every Christian should, that God owns it all, because that's made abundantly clear in Scripture, you are a temporary steward, a temporary manager of something that belongs to somebody else, in this case, the Creator. So that's a pretty big responsibility. Mm. And oftentimes we confuse stewardship with just our giving, but stewardship is the whole piece, not just the percentage that you give to charity or to church. And so if you have that attitude, it might make a little bit of an impact. And you think, okay, I might be scared about politics and change there, but do I really believe that God's afraid of that right now? Do I think that God doesn't have a plan right now that's playing out? Do I think that God is not in control? I think if you start to feel that way, if you really get back into Scripture and balance maybe the time you're spending on the news with some time in the Word, you'll be reassured that I don't need to be afraid. I'm told very clearly in Scripture not to be afraid. And this is a time where I need to, you know, pray, trust God, still be aware, still make good decisions, but not approach things with fear.
Brian, I can't help but think, I want to ask this in a correct way so I don't offend you, because you're a smart guy, but I get the feeling when we're talking with you that we're not just talking with Brian Cochran. We're talking with the John Moore team. Mm-hmm. Other people have given you insight and input, and you trust those people.
Yep, and I've had the joy and the privilege of being mentored by John Moore, our founder, who has spent years in this world of studying Scripture as it pertains to finance in particular. He's a really wise man in a lot of areas of life, but he really has learned to apply these biblical principles, and so I've been mentored by him. So a lot of this is caught, not taught. You know, it's just being with him and being serving clients together over the years, picking up the nuances there. And also our whole team enjoys the benefit of being trained by the Kingdom Advisors organization, which we talk about. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Advisors is the ownership of MoneyWise, who's on, you know.
And you're a sponsor of that on KMKT.
Yeah, so we really believe in the way they, you know, Kingdom Advisors is there to teach us as advisors how to apply biblical wisdom to financial decisions. And then MoneyWise is there to teach the public the same thing. And so with all these resources we have, we feel like we're really fortunate to be Christians, believers, providing financial advice in a time where there's all these resources encouraging us and teaching us how to really live out God's plan for managing money.
Brian Cochran is a certified financial planner with John Moore Associates, joining us in studio this afternoon. By the way, if you have a question for Brian, feel free to call us. He's here at 338-5790. He can't give you real specific investment advice, but he can talk to you about things in general and make sure you know how to contact him off the air should you decide to get with him about his services. Brian Cochran will be right back. We got lots more to talk about how emotion and fear can maybe direct us in the wrong way as we consider our investments. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Listen, as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot.
I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country. The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation.
This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord. I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good theological through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran in studio with me. He's a certified financial planner with John Moore Associates. You've gotten real familiar with Brian because he visits with us every Friday, usually for a 10-minute market update. And it's been unusual this year because of the election year. You've really tempered a lot of emotion and things for us. And I think a lot of people have had a lot of fear. Brian, I'll just ask you, we talked about this off air. What's the opposite of fear when it comes to investing?
I think the opposite would be greed. We talked about how fear is often caused by looking forward and imagining a negative future, right? Where it may or may not come to pass, but you're projecting that something bad's going to happen and you have a response. Greed is almost the opposite, where people look forward and see no risk in the future, and they see all this opportunity and they want it. They want a piece of that. They want that big return. They want that hot stock. They want that perfect outcome, and they really believe in their blindness from their greed, that there's just no way it's going to be bad. I'm just going to go grab this and I'm going to see this huge gain. And what's interesting right now is I see so much of both. So many of our more conservative leading Christian clients, you know, because of the political environment and because of, you know, what they feel is recent attacks on faith, they feel a lot of fear. At the same time, I'm consistently reading about and interacting with young investors who are investing with as much of a greedy, speculative mentality as I've ever seen. And it's just an incredible, you know, barbell between these people who are fearful and wanting to have no risk, and another group who almost acts like there isn't any risk, and they're using modern trading applications to, you know, on their phone to buy and sell stocks in a very speculative fashion, as if it can't go wrong.
Well, I've got some friends that have tried this day trading, and mm-hmm. they've used various applications, and I'm sure there are some people that are successful. But the people that I know, I have to say that I equate that to professional gambling. Mm-hmm. They don't have, there's not a team of advisors, and I don't know all the nuances of how they decide. It's almost like, well, I see a green light blinking on this stock, so I'm going to buy this one according to the app. Well, that's scary to me.
Yeah. And some of the new apps, I don't mean to pick on specific names, but there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal from a really famous financial writer who actually downloaded the Robinhood app, which has been growing in popularity and is sort of the app of choice for younger investors who want to trade. And it does fireworks on the app when you get a stock that's going up, and you know, the way it quotes the returns and the colors it uses, all of this is promoting all the bad behaviors that we're trying to talk people away from all the time as professional advisors. So there's that emotion. They're actually stimulating those emotions for you and maybe bubbling up more greed, and it creates this compounding effect. And it's a scary thing for me, because what we know from market history is each of those young investors is going to have an awakening at some point where they're, it's going to be a hard lesson to learn and possibly an expensive lesson to learn when things go south. The extreme of that was, I think it was around the middle of last year, a young man who'd been investing on one of these trading apps woke up, and in an error on the technology, it showed a negative $600,000 or $700,000 balance on his account, and he committed suicide.
Oh.
I mean, it's again, that whole connection of emotion and money. That's the extreme of it. I'm not going to say that's by any means common, but that's the extreme version of what can happen when you go too far down the greed path and then things go south.
Well, I can't but acknowledge that COVID has created a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just, even if you're not, you know, affected that much financially, even though you're eating three squares, or maybe you are affected, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've lost your business. My heart, my prayers are so much for all the restaurateurs in New Mexico, mm-hmm. because some of my favorites, like the 66 Diner, are closed, and it breaks my heart. And literally, I'm praying Tom and his family be able to reopen that thing, you know, yeah. somehow miraculously. But we just couldn't eat enough takeout, you know, to really help yeah. get that thing over the top. So I bring that up only because, Brian, the measure of success as an investor, how much does that have to do with comparing yourself to the Joneses?
Oh, that's huge. It's a combination of FOMO, fear of missing out, and the classic comparison, which is, I think that's why, you know, it's so clear in scripture, we're not supposed to covet our neighbor's stuff, because it leads to bad behaviors. It leads to resentment and speculation, and just nothing good comes from that. And so, that's why I talked from the start about how part of what we do is we help the families we serve, we help them set goals and be very intentional. What is your measuring stick? Where are you trying to go with your money? Are you just trying to accumulate as fast as possible, as much as possible? Because there's plenty of warnings about that too
sure.
in scripture that's folly. You're going to end up in a negative place. So if you have specific goals rather than just making more than your neighbor or making more than the S&P 500 or, you know, just making as much as possible, then you can actually measure that and say, okay, the decisions I'm making are putting me on a good path, or I'm taking more risk than I required to meet my goals.
Brian, you wrote down on our notes today, fear and greed are responsible for almost every financial mistake I see.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think so. I mean, usually if you get to the root of why people make dramatic financial errors, it's because of one of those two things, you know. Last March, the market dropped 30% plus in less than a month as COVID first, you know, hit our shores, and then it became clear we were having economic shutdowns. The market spiraled down. You know, not the best time to be selling stocks, right? But the fear took over. We had people a month before that in February who were trying to push us to put more money at risk because the market was actually performing quite well. People don't remember that necessarily, but in the first couple months of 2020, we were coming off a really good 2019. And so out of greed, people are like, hey, I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I could make more if we take more risk. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get this portfolio moving. And I mean, we got some actual thank you letters from a couple of clients who we had talked them away from taking more risk during that period. And then, you know, come March when the market dropped, they were quite grateful. And that's not a matter of us forecasting COVID or forecasting them. That's just good principles, avoiding the emotion that the market can bring, and being consistent in your process. That's all we were doing. And it's just hard to do that on your own sometimes, because if you're just left alone with your emotions, there's no one to stand in the way of making a big mistake.
And when COVID actually hit in March, those people who you had kept in some, you know, within the plan, within mm-hmm. the scope of their goals, you talked them out of selling everything.
Yeah.
Out of panic.
Exactly.
And they ended up having pretty much a solid year in 2020.
Yeah, and our language at that time, if people call and say, I think I want to get out, this is scary, I say, well, we'd rather be shoppers than sellers right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the principle. Again, we didn't know for sure that it was going to get better in 2020. We were pleasantly surprised, like many investors, how quickly everything rebounded last year. But the principle is, you know, when stocks drop and they go below their long-term average return, then that's often a good time to be entering the market rather than exiting. So again, it's not about us having this magical crystal ball forecast. We don't get an email from, you know, the New York Stock Exchange every day telling us which way the market's going to go. But we do have the principles behind us, and we have, you talked about that confidence you have when you're a senior basketball or football player mm-hmm. versus a freshman. We've got the experience and the understanding of market history. You put all that together and you add, you know, a more principled-based approach to making decisions. And that's what we hope to bring.
Well, and it sounds like you're really doing that successfully. Again, the website for John Moore Associates is johnmoore, M-O-O-R-E.com. They have a tab called the Insights tab. Many times Brian will take these shows and post the interviews there, but you also have blog posts, you have webinars and all kinds of things that you provide there for people.
Yep, and we're hosting a multi-speaker webinar in a couple weeks here, and I look forward to capturing some of the highlights from that and getting that on the Insights tab. So always just in the interest of education. We love education. And I always want to be careful when I'm here with you. I'm not trying to oversell our process. What we're talking about here is what any good, solid, you know, fiduciary advisor, fiduciary meaning we have to do what's in the client's best interest. These are the principles and the processes any good advisor is going to use. So if anything, I'm trying to implore listeners who may feel fear and don't know what to do with their finances to seek an advisor, seek somebody with wisdom. And if that person can share your belief system, that's even better. The worldview of your advisor, we think, really matters. So
I'm always surprised by people that are Christians that are surprised when they face, you know, some kind of business deal where they get the short end of the stick, or they go to that car dealership and they're not treated fairly, or they pay for some product more than they're supposed to pay. Because in my opinion, Christians should expect sin. Mm-hmm. And when they don't experience sin, they ought to go, wow, that's a God thing.
Yep.
I'm really blessed. And in the same way, you have to get back. You have to step back as a person of faith, and you have to be wise. We have tools. We have, you know, there's not really a Christian investment out there. There's an economy.
Yep.
And you can be a Christian investing in and owning those companies. As you talk about stocks, when you buy bonds, you're loaning money, right? And I know that there's all kinds of bonds, and maybe we ought to talk about the various instruments one of these days. But the bottom line is that you go through all of those options when somebody tells you what their goals are. How many people come to you and they've never even thought through that process?
It's more often than you would think.
Okay.
They might have a concern. They might have a big change that has thrown them for a loop in a positive or negative way. You know, something like a divorce or a marriage or an inheritance or loss of a spouse. These are often triggers for people to come seek advice. But it's really common that we have to help people formulate their goals. And we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth revisiting. When you formulate a financial goal, it should be a specific purpose with a specific timeline and preferably a specific dollar amount. So saying, oh, I hate my job, I want to retire, that's not a goal. That's a complaint. Saying, you know, I'd like to have the financial freedom and the flexibility to not work anymore starting at my age 67. And I know I need to live on $5,000 a month, and I need to plan on living on that for 30, 35 years, right? So that's a goal. Now I have a timeline. I have a dollar amount, and I can now measure my path towards that goal. And that's, I think, an important starting place because, again, in the absence of goals, in the absence of good principles, good process, and hopefully a trusted third party, it's going to always fall back to greed and fear.
If you want to give Brian Cochran a call here today on ABQ Connect, he's going to be with us till 2 o'clock. Give us a call at 338-5790. Brian would be happy to answer your questions and talk to you about concepts and things that you may not have ever heard. The things that Brian shares with us here are unique to my ears, and so I'm hoping that they are unique to yours as well. We'll be right back with Brian. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Does God exist? And if he does, is it possible to know him? Your answer to those two questions shapes how you see the world. Skip Heitzig once wrestled with those very questions himself.
You know, I've been teaching the Bible for over 3 decades. Before I became a Christian, and when I was new to the faith, I studied science and philosophy alongside the Bible. As I studied, I grew confident that God does exist, and yes, we can know him.
In Biography of God, the brand new book by Skip Heitzig, you'll learn to remove the limits you may have placed on your idea of who God is.
Everything changes when you acknowledge and believe that God is who he says he is.
Biography of God is our way to thank you when you give $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach to more people. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
An ox to the slaughter. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. My oldest son loves watching the hunting channel. We live in the heart of the city and our street empties out onto a feeder of the freeway. He loves camouflage, wears boots, and can't wait to get out of the city. He dreams of the opportunity to hunt deer, hog, quail, and dove. You know, just as a hunter lays a trap for his prey, the scripture warns us against the adulteress, lying in wait for those who lack judgment. With seductive words, the adulteress pleads with an impassioned plea to drink deep of love. The problem, though, is that love isn't present, just ruin. Proverbs 7:22-23 states, all at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. He does not know that it will cost him his life. Don't ruin your life. Deny the adulteress.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly Slade and Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly and her team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly Slade and Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book. 342-8100 or reach Holly on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. During the break, Brian, I wish we could record the breaks because sometimes we talk about really cool stuff during the breaks, but I couldn't help but think when we, you know, we're talking about fear and how emotion can sometimes misdirect what you should be doing. And I thought of something that I experienced when I was very young. When I was 15 years old, I went through, you have to do things differently now, but in those days we called it junior and senior life saving, and you had to become a life safety water instructor. And I lifeguarded for many years. And as part of the training, they teach you, and today they don't even let you go in the water. You're using hooks and all kinds. But in those days, we would swim up. We would learn how to go under, turn a person around, do a chin hold, and then a cross chest carry, all these different things. Mm-hmm. But what they taught us that was profound was to be afraid of the people that we were trying to save, because their fear, their panic, if they grab you, they will drown you. And these are normal human yep. beings, but they're so fearful about dying. So it just so happened in my senior life-saving class that we had this guy, I'll just call him, he was a nice man, but he was a young man. He was 19 years old, real macho, big muscled up guy. And he was teaching the class. His name was Mike. And I'll never forget this. One of our students turned on him and grabbed him in the middle of the pool. We were in the diving tank at Los Altos Pool, which is about 12 feet deep. And I am not exaggerating. We saw terror in the young man that was in our class, he grabbed him and he would have drowned him. And I jumped in the water immediately, just instinctively, and I took them both under the water. Well, as soon as I took them down under the water, and I'm pulling them from their feet, the one let go of Mike, so Mike was able to get away, and then we were able to rescue the other one with a hook and so forth. But fear just overtakes someone, and they will literally kill you because of their fear.
Yep. And what we see with money is fear causes extremes. So the extreme, like you're talking about, there's that extreme reaction of panicking and, you know, and that drowning response where you're actually going to take someone down with you. What we see is people either try to do too much when they're afraid or they do nothing at all. So one extreme, people become afraid. And, you know, we talked about last March when the market was plummeting, sell everything, go to the extreme, right? I'm going to do, which in normal conditions they would never think to do. Get me 100% out of the market. And so, you know, what we try to do then is say, okay, let's talk through this. If we cannot get them to step away from selling everything, we at least try to negotiate to the point where let's just sell a little bit to make you feel some peace of mind, but let's not blow up the whole plan, right? On the other extreme, when people feel fear, is they do the, you know, oftentimes the paralysis by analysis. And many of our clients are very thoughtful, very analytical engineer type people because if here we are in Albuquerque with national laboratories and PhD engineers and physicists and many of those types of people make up our client base. And in fear for them, you cannot get them to do anything. And so there was actually one client I was talking to, such a nice couple with a wonderful family, incredibly smart, both the husband and the wife, brilliant people. And I couldn't talk them into putting money in the market when the market was going down because of the analysis. They were thinking about all the trade-offs and what if we do this? I mean, they had ample liquid resources that they could put money at risk at that time and not sacrifice their short-term security or their cash that they needed in the near term. So I wasn't pushing them to take unnecessary risks, but he kept wanting to think about it and think about it and think about it. Pretty soon, March passes, April passes, May passes, and the opportunity was gone. So you have to watch for those extremes. And if you are rational enough to pause for a second, ask yourself, okay, am I responding out of fear? And is my response one of these things? Am I freezing up and not making a decision when I should be making a decision? Or am I making an extreme decision in an irrational way?
We kind of started with an analogy that I brought forward today about athletes that are afraid and the difference between, say, a sophomore in high school and a senior. And the very fact that they have a breadth of experience that's more than the sophomore, a lot of times a person with lesser athletic ability that's older has no fear will be a lot more efficient and a lot more effective as a player during a game. Is that true also with investors? The more experience they have, the less fear they have? I can tell you this. Everybody that listened to you on this show, whether they were with John Moore or another organization, they stayed the course. They stayed in their investments. They didn't get out of the market. They're now thanking you for that advice.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think that's a really good question about where does experience maybe add value? Does it remove fear? And I'd say generally yes. And a lot of investors, when they're young and they're starting out, they learn lessons. So maybe they did pull money out of the market out of fear. And then the market went up and they went, ooh, that's not a good decision. I've learned the lesson. I felt the pain. I've paid the tuition, as we like to say, you know, the cost of that lesson. But what changes over time, some of our clients that were most afraid in March, you know, they had weathered 2008 just fine. They weathered a 20% down month in 2018 just fine. Something about this was different. And so I think experience does help generally, but if you're at a time where maybe you're going through a personal transition, like, you know, some of our clients that were really diligent, consistent investors for years, if they were just now approaching retirement, that emotion around their retirement, or maybe they had a life change, you know, in their marriage or with a kid, those life changes input more emotion into the situation. And now that emotion makes you just as subject to making mistakes as you were when you were an inexperienced investor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so in general, yes, but we're all subject to the changes in life making us emotional, and then emotion leading to mistakes.
Along that line, Brian, we've been talking about fear may be created by the political environment today, or the political party in power, or who's, you know, doing this or doing that. I can't help but think that there are some health crises and other personal experiences that create a lot of fear that may affect investors negatively.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if your spouse is in the hospital and terminally ill, that's not a time where you can tolerate other uncertainty in life. So you want to remove the fear in your investments. I actually had just that same situation with one of the families we serve who happened to live in Texas. And one of the spouses was having had a really bad cancer diagnosis. And, you know, pretty consistent investors to that point. But that uncertainty of the investments on top of the family uncertainty, that combination was too much for the other spouse. And while I respect that, that's part of our job to say, I understand how you feel. We can do some things to make you feel more secure, but let's not go to the extremes, right? And blow up the plan that we've built.
How can our faith help us not to be afraid?
I think you just look at scripture. Look at what God says about fear. Look at what, you know, there's some verses we talked about, you know, do you really believe God is going to provide for you? And there were three verses I thought of, researched ahead of today. One's Philippians 4:19. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times that you may abound in every good work. Now, I love that one because what it notes is he's not providing for you so you can be comfortable and feel no fear or uncertainty. It's so you can go do good works, right? He's not providing for you so that you can have it easy. Mm-hmm. He's providing to give you what you need to go out and be a witness. And then in Matthew 6, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So God knows what we need. He's going to give it to us, not so we can just hang out. He knows what we need. He's going to give it to us so that we can then go do good works.
I couldn't formulate the question at the time you said it, but you were talking a little bit about how people will, circumstances of life will, you know, dictate various things. Well, I can't help but think that sometimes people may not be so fearful about where they're going to invest money or how the world circumstances today will affect their investments, but they're afraid of something else. And sometimes that fear is really misguided. And I think COVID is a prime example. You know, no question COVID is real. You know, there's people that are dying and everything else, but it's not real to the point where it should just paralyze us.
Exactly.
And that has happened in so many cases.
Yeah, I was just one of our guest speakers for the upcoming webinar series that we're putting together. I got to preview his talk that he's going to do for our clients. And he was talking about if you're college age right now, you're 10 times, almost 11 times more likely to die from a car accident than COVID. You're 10 times more likely to die from suicide. So your emotional well-being might need to be your focus as much as your physical well-being and whether or not you're wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Again, like you said, it's real. It doesn't mean we should be careless in the way we approach the virus, but we need to look at what the real risks are. And if we are afraid, why? Why am I so afraid right now? What's the future I'm projecting? What's the outcome that I'm seeing? What's my imagination doing? Where is it taking me? And if you look at it from that perspective and you actually look at the numbers and look at it with, you know, good rational thought, then you would be cautious. You would be aware, like we were saying earlier, but you shouldn't be living out of fear. You shouldn't be treating every person that walks by you as if they're a risk to your health and your very existence. You know, that's not the way to approach life at any time. But right now, there's no justification for you. You know, my wife and I like to walk our neighborhood, and you know, half the couples we walk by skitter across to the other side of the street, you know, to get away from us rather than pass by us. And I always think that's someone who's either underinformed or really bad at math, because the risk of us walking by each other, especially if you're wearing a mask outdoors, is so minimal. You're probably more at risk running across the street and getting hit by a car than you are walking by me on the street.
You are bombarded with messages every day, though, that I can't help but blame on the media. I mean, it's, you're hearing it from 50 different sources and you don't even know sometimes what's true.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, I mentioned earlier what I was seeing on Facebook about these ads from so-called investment advisors that, oh my gosh, by the 26th of this month, you better take this action or you're at this risk. And that's just all false. In fact, I go in on Facebook and I say, report ad, scam or misleading on every single one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's too bad. And what they're preying on is our fear and the fact that we gravitate so much more towards negative information than positive, which again, if you think about just protecting our well-being, that kind of makes sense, right? I need to be aware of the negative things out there. They're more of a risk. And the way investors approach things, the pain of a down market, you know, a down 10% market is much more painful than an up 10% market is joyful. You know, we approach negative things. We weigh them heavier in our minds. So they're just totally taking advantage of that. And a big battle for us as professional advisors is always pushing back that, you know, misinformation. And I stumbled across an email a client had sent to me back in April last year, and he quoted three different articles he'd seen, basically saying, why the heck are we still invested in stocks? And it was three different articles, he said, and each one of them was total doomsday. And each one of them, looking back now, was completely wrong. And I guarantee you, each one of those three people who posted those articles will post another article like that again in the future. It doesn't matter that they're wrong every time. They just continue to spill out this fearful narrative.
And they get just enough people to do what they want done so that they make money off of that ad, which is sad, but they never really have to give an account to anybody for that.
No, and what the financial media does, I don't know how it actually works in practice, but my picture is, you know, whoever's driving the agenda for the financial media on any given day, if the market's down at 10%, they've got a Rolodex and they've got the 10% group. You know, market's down 10%, we get these three guys or gals in for an interview. And if it gets down 20%, they've got the next, you know, and as the market goes down further, they invite increasingly more negative people who are always that negative. And there's just a certain tier. And I can always tell when the market's about to bottom because, you know, jokingly, because, you know, once there's a certain list of guys, once they get on the networks and start making the rounds, it's like, okay, we must be getting to the end of this because the doomsdayers are here.
And one of the things we try to do on ABQ Connect is we try to focus on the answers. So we're bringing up, you know, what are the challenges, but what really are the answers? And Brian, I've always known this as a believer, but we're called to be generous. We're called to give. But I've never heard a financial planner until I met you talk about giving as part of the financial plan. So we're going to spend the last segment talking a little bit about that. We'll be right back with Brian Cochran right after these messages.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Ladies, what if you could pray more powerfully in 2021? You can. Lenya Heitzig and Sheology want to help bring God's point of view to your prayer life with Prayers Like Incense, a free 5-week community Bible study at Calvary Church Osuna. Each week will feature worship, a message, casual small group discussion, and warm fellowship. Plus, you can enjoy food trucks, craft coffee, and a market of local vendors. Again, this Bible study is free and for everyone, no matter your home church or denomination, and it starts Tuesday, February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Sign up for Prayers Like Incense so we can prepare for you. This Bible study is also happening at Calvary Church Santa Fe and online. Find all the details at sheology.com. That's sheology.com. Prayers Like Incense, where your prayers meet God's perspective.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
I come here to take the woman and the boy.
I was in the Marine Corps, so I suggest y'all turn around and adios.
In the new movie, The Marksman, now in theaters, actor Liam Neeson steps into the boots of a grieving man pushed to his limit. Jim Hansen is struggling after the death of his wife and the foreclosure of his Arizona ranch. One day, he nearly runs over an immigrant mother and her son fleeing a drug cartel. The mother is killed in the ensuing shootout. As she dies, she asks Jim, a former sniper, to protect her boy. Sacrifice takes center stage here, but so does gun violence, profanity, and drinking in this grim PG-13 thriller. So we can only give The Marksman a 2 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
When you are looking for your next mortgage loan, be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote. They will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Call them at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Man, Ben Lucero at Indigo, he has been a longtime sponsor of the programming here. Really appreciate him. Total integrity, and we hope you give Indigo Mortgage a shot when you're looking for a mortgage loan. Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates, they're in studio. He is in studio with us. John Moore is a sponsor of the programming here on KNKT. Money Wise, is a program that you hear every day, daily, before our show. And it's just an amazing show. A lot of great advice, a lot of insight, perspective. And Brian, before the break, I said you have a perspective as part of the financial plan, which is for people to be generous and to have giving as part of that plan.
Yeah, it's part of our calling. And I think it's one of the really hard parts about what we're talking about today is fear. Fear and generosity don't coexist. You don't see people who are extremely fearful often being very willing to give, certainly not to give generously, to give sacrificially, because as we've talked about, they're so worried about this perceived future that could happen that they don't have a willingness to give up resources that they might need. And, you know, we've talked about the risks. You know, you could be fearful and maybe you sell stocks at an inopportune time, or you're fearful so you don't buy stocks when you could, or other risk assets. But also, I think this is one of the big downsides of fear, is it keeps people from enjoying the joy of generosity and supporting the community and God's kingdom in the way that they might.
How do you come up with a giving plan? I know that there's some Christians that say, I am going to tithe 10%. I have others that say, well, I'm going to support this organization. But Brian, at the same time, I know people as a former banker, I would look at financial statements and stuff and look at what people had done. And I'd see somebody that made $500,000 a year and they would have made maybe $1,000 worth of donations to various charities. And that's great. I mean, $1,000 is better than no dollars. But then I'd see people that made $50,000 a year and their giving was $8,000 a year. I mean, just a huge amount of money compared to what they made. What's the balance? How do you come up with a plan?
Well, it's a personal decision. It's a spiritual decision, and it's more of a heart versus mind decision. I think one of the negatives, I think, when Christians often talk about the tithe is they treat that 10% like it's a speed limit or it's an obligation. They lose that joy of generosity because they make it a chore or a must. You know, we have clients in all different faiths, and some of our clients who are, just following other faiths, they're part of congregations that actually bill them every month for being part of their congregation. And talk about robbing the joy of generosity. So what we often say is, you know, the 10% isn't a speed limit. It's a great starting place. We often talk about people giving 10% of their income and 1% of their assets, which is eye-opening for a lot of people to think about. You know, all of it's God's money, whether it's your income or your assets. And you can honor God with all of it. And the asset-based giving can also have some tax advantages at times. But actually, I wrote a blog post on this that's on our insights page at the end of December called The P's of Giving. And it's based on what Andy Stanley shared in Fields of Gold. And, you know, what we often coach people to do is make giving a priority first. That's the first P, is priority. If you wait till everything else is taken care of, there won't be any money left over for giving, because we can all find something to spend the money on. So give first. Consider giving as a percentage, not a dollar amount, because as your income grows, what we see a lot, you mentioned that, you know, a person making $300,000 a year or so that's only given $1,000 a year, a lot of times what we see is couples start their giving when they get married, and they're tithing, they're giving 10% or even more, and then they just keep giving that same amount while their income goes up double or triple over the course of their life, and they still feel like they're being generous. So I'm not here to judge anybody's giving. We never tell our clients where to give or how much, but consider giving as a percentage of your income rather than just looking at dollar amounts. And there's definitely a biblical support of that. And then make it progressive. So consider the opportunity to give more. So as your income grows or as opportunities are allowed, give progressively more over time. So maybe start off at 10%, but don't stay there. You know, as your income grows, go to 11%, 12%. I had the joy of sitting with Rick Warren one time, and he was talking about his family. You know, they started out tithing, and by the time his book came out, it was a big success. They went from giving 10% of their income and grew and grew and grew, and then were able to get to over 90% of their income going to charity. So that's a great example, maybe the extreme. And then the last P is prompted. Give some room to be prompted. I think when people are legalistic about their giving, they miss the opportunity to have God's calling come in and say, hey, this is a cause that deserves your attention and some of my resources. So, you know, leave some space in your giving plan. I met a young man yesterday, young man in late 20s, early 30s. And I asked him, I said, you know, one of the questions we ask all new clients is, do you give based on a plan? And he said, not really. He says, I like to just keep some money in the bank. And when I see somebody in need, I give it to them. So he's not giving to a charity necessarily. He's waiting for a prompting. And then he mentioned buying a new refrigerator for a friend in need who didn't have the resources. So he left margin to be prompted. And I thought that was, for someone so young, you know, just starting out financially, that was a lot of wisdom there.
It sounds like a lot of fun too.
Yeah, exactly. And he lit up. I mean, we're talking about money and he's a nice guy, engaging conversation, but when he really lit up was talking about buying that fridge for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so his financial success, maybe his greatest financial emotional success, was not the money he'd saved or the debt he'd paid off or the new vehicle he bought. We talked about all those things. He lit up when he talked about buying something for someone else.
Last year, I posted something on Facebook. We have a little quote post that we put on our Facebook /ABQConnect. And it was a quote from you. And you said, when your income increases, consider increasing your standard of giving instead of your standard of living. And that was really a popular post with a lot of people because they hadn't thought about it.
Yep. And we talked about that last year in terms of the stimulus that had come out. We may have more stimulus coming down the pipe again here in 2021. So it's, you know, that's an example of an opportunity to increase your standard of giving.
When you talk about the stimulus money, it's interesting you bring that up. That has a specific purpose. That's supposed to stimulate the economy. And obviously we want to be good stewards of it. But last time, and probably you'll recommend the same team, same thing this time, is you want that invested into the economy, not necessarily put in a savings account.
Yeah, and then to invest in the economy is often to spend it. And what we know right now is there's a factor we look at every month called the money supply. Money supply is the amount of money in our checking, savings, money markets. That's skyrocketed. So much of the stimulus that's been distributed over the last year is just sitting in bank accounts. And so there's a lot of opportunity. Now, some of that's because we feel like we can't go do anything in lockdown states like New Mexico, California. But overall, there is opportunity. And if you're holding that money out of fear, that's what we've been talking about all day here, you know, maybe there's something better that money could be used for rather than just sitting in your account. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an emergency reserve or you shouldn't save for specific short-term purposes using bank products. What I am saying is if you're just holding that money because you're scared and you don't really have a specific goal or purpose for it, this is a great opportunity to go out and buy some gift cards from your favorite restaurant, you know, send a gift to a friend or family member, or just find that person in need and buy them a refrigerator like our client from yesterday.
And I can't emphasize enough that I hope people will buy local. Mm-hmm. I hope New Mexicans will buy products and services in New Mexico.
Yep, we need it.
Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. Thank you, my friend. Good to see you.
My pleasure.
You connect. Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.